Come to order. Motion to come out of executive session, Mr. Canning, is there a second? Have you passed now? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Now we will come to order.
No, we're not going to break.
This is what happens when we don't start from the beginning.
I'm so sorry.
Okay, public comment. Is there anyone from the public that wishes to address the board? Mr. Bissett? You can sit at the front table if you'd like.
Good evening. My name's Neil Bissett. I'm a little ill tonight, so if I scatter this because I'm loaded with Sudafed. I'll do my best here. I've been a resident of the district my entire life. My wife and I have two kids in the district, one a senior, one a sophomore. We own a number of rental properties. My real estate company is not in the district, but I own another business down on Route 9. And we pay a lot of taxes to the school district on an annual basis. So we would be, in some ways, when you consider the age of our kids, perhaps people that maybe would be opposed to a spending plan like you're considering, given the fact that by the time much of the work occurs and is completed, it's more than likely that both of our kids, definitely Reagan, but our sophomore will probably be all done at Beaverton School. But with that said, we actually support the plan. In business, there's a saying that I'm sure most of you have heard, that in order to make money, sometimes you have to spend some money. And I would apply that to education, and I would say that you need to spend money to stay competitive. So I've outlined just five things, or five primary reasons that, in my view, are reasons why you should go forward with this spending plan. And the first one is safety. There's been a lot of talk about the entrance of the school, other parts of the school. I know are included that have a tie into safety. And I think that the safety of our kids is paramount. And I think it's our duty, whether you have kids at the school or you don't have kids at the school, to protect them while they're here. The second one is the significant cost save that New York State will afford this project, given the fact that, as I understand it, they will pay for 80% of all of the capital expenditures that will be made, coupled with your ability to utilize capital that's on reserve, as well as reissuance of debt, and ultimately to push forward a significant spending plan, significant improvements to the facilities here at Beaverton, with virtually or maybe no impact to the taxpayers, in my view, could be viewed as a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. I would encourage you to not take this opportunity lightly. Three, by combining the energy performance contract with the capital expenditures under consideration, the district will receive millions of dollars in mechanical and energy upgrades. I understand that dollar amount is somewhere in the $9 million range. Four, New York State, as you've probably been reading, is injecting significant money into this area. I'll reference the Norris Project, which is a $125 million taxpayer injection of capital into a significant project that perhaps could transform our area. The city of Plattsburgh has recently been announced that the city of Plattsburgh is being awarded a $10 million downtown revitalization grant. It's my belief that not only Beaverton School, we're obviously here talking about Beaverton right now, but I think there's a responsibility of all of our schools to keep pace with what the state is doing. And I think it's important for us to show the state and the federal government, if there are ever federal grants, that we are willing to invest some of our own dollars to better our schools and other facilities that we have here in our community. And the last one that I want to touch on, and I think that this is sometimes overlooked, is what I'm calling school pride. And some of you have been, as I'm looking around the table here, some of you have been around for a while. You remember that not too long ago, there was, in my estimation, a general lack of leadership at the school district. It was somewhat regular to read about things that were occurring at Beatmantown that you didn't really want to read about as a parent and as a taxpayer. And now, all of you have turned that situation around, and I think you should be credited for that. You smartly hired Dan Mannix, and I happen to think that Dan has done an outstanding job leading this district into an environment that is right now, when I'm out there in the community and I'm on a bunch of boards like many of you are, and we're talking about education in the North Country, and Beatmantown School comes up, you guys have created a school here that's the envy of the area, and you're on the cutting edge. And I think that approving and moving forward with a spending plan is just a natural extension of what you've already accomplished here at the school. So in close, I want to thank you for your service. Obviously, none of you are paid. You're all volunteering your time. And I know what that takes. So I appreciate you representing the taxpayers, and I'm hopeful that you will approve the spending plan. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
I'm going to leave and go to bed.
All right, is there anyone else from the audience that wishes to address the board? Seeing none, I'd like to take this opportunity to acknowledge Jessica Rock, who's present in the audience tonight. She was nominated to receive this award, and the inscription reads that the Board of Education expresses appreciation and formally recognizes Jessica Rock for exceptional teaching and learning in her 811 class, which positively impacts not only her students but the entire Beatmantown Middle School climate. And we thank you. So if you'd like to come forward and
Thank you.
So it's always nice when we can recognize the employees of the district, and thank you again. Our next topic is the capital project, and with us tonight is Garrett Hamlin from Tetra Tech and Christine Crowley from Fiscal Advisors. If you want to have a seat at the table. And your name is, sir?
Tom Farley with Tetra Tech.
Tom Farley, thank you for being here tonight.
Tom's the site civil engineer for the project and the site civil engineering department for us. Good evening.
Good evening.
Ready?
Yes.
Okay. So tonight is a culmination of a lot of work. I went back and looked at my notes, and we started talking about this project in March of 2014. So 2.5 years later, I'm really happy to report that we're at a point now where we have a very well-defined scope for a capital project. And so I'm going to spend some time talking about that, but I'd like to just kind of set the stage a little bit, if you will. This all started with the building condition survey, SED requirements. So as you all know, I had a team of engineers and architects crawling through the buildings, working with the administration and staff, and came up with a long-range master plan for the district. And so this project is really an outgrowth of that forward thinking that the district undertook. The long-range planning was about facilities evaluation, but it was also really about finances, too, because there's a lot of work that any owner of a number of facilities like the Beekman Town School has, that there's all kinds of work to be done. But how you pay for it is really important. So simultaneously with evaluating the buildings, there were strategies and plans being put into place that allows for the project that you're going to have the opportunity to consider tonight to be really no cost or cost neutral, if you will, to the taxpayer, due to debt dropping off and due to forethought and planning by the district. So it's really important to highlight that fact. The other thing I want to mention is that simultaneous with the planning of this project, the district embarked on an energy performance contract. We worked with the district closely to do an RFP, to hire Siemens Controls to be the energy services contract, and that project is currently designed. It's at SED, State Education Department, awaiting approval, and construction will start as soon as it has approval. That work in total in the district, I'm sorry I don't remember the number right off the top of my head, it's about $8 million worth of construction work, is really, really valuable work that's going to happen here in the Beekman Town Schools as a separate standalone energy performance contract. As you all know, energy performance contracting is essentially no cost to the district, so all of that work is going to be paid for out of energy savings. And so when you combine that work with the work that's being considered tonight for the capital project, there's really an immense amount of upgrades that are going to happen here in the district, assuming that the vote in the future passes, that will do wonderful things here with the Beekman Town Schools. We moved into capital project planning after all of those things happened. And that's a very different process than facility evaluation. Starting to craft a scope that is achievable, that's affordable, and that works very well in this time frame. So what we're looking at tonight, and I'll show you the executive summary, excuse me, but looking back, just want to make sure I'm on the right screen. This is the executive summary for the capital project. So there are really four cornerstones to the project. The first is educational enhancements. The second is traffic safety improvements here at the main building, athletic improvements here on this campus, and then further infrastructure improvements throughout the district. Those four cornerstones really mark the pillars of this project. And we worked very hard during capital project planning to craft a scope that is both affordable and achievable in each of those areas. The one thing that I want to start with is the educational enhancements. So Mr. Mannix came to me at one point in the last 2.5 years and said, you know what, we have to talk education, because everybody was just talking rows and columns of work that needs to be done. And he said, we have to talk education. And it was really a turning point for us in planning the project, because what it highlights is you guys have an amazing educational program going on here. I worked throughout New York State, and the program that's going on here is really cutting edge 21st century learning. So one of the things that I think about this project is it's an opportunity to help the buildings and facilities catch up to the great things that are already going on here. So from that standpoint, sometimes we see districts who are trying to build spaces. If you build it, they will come. And in some ways, it's the reverse of what's going on here, that you are already have this active, vibrant program going on, and we're trying to catch the buildings up to that, which is really exciting for us as designers. The project scope is super detailed. You've all seen it. I'm not planning on spending a whole lot of time deep diving down into it. I can answer any questions that you may have. Tom's also here to answer site questions along the way. Just want to remind us all that this is a very, very well thought out and calculated set of scope items that all work together intertwined. So I'd like to show some images. This is, we'll go through the cornerstones, so educational enhancements. These are the images of the large group instruction space. They're evolving a little bit as compared to the last time we showed them to you, but this is the addition and renovation that would happen over by the middle school. It will provide for a space where you can house larger numbers of students and they can work in a collaborative environment. It's really a space that you don't currently have in this building, and it will allow for lots of exciting things to be happening at once. One of the other things that's happening here is that we're, in addition to showing something on the outside of the building that will reflect the good things that are happening here, there's also work that's going to happen along the corridor. And that's shown in this space here, where we'll have these sort of separate small pull-out spaces that teachers will be able to use for education. They'll be able to supervise them easily, but they'll also be sort of more intimate spaces where people can learn in different ways. If we move over to the media commons, which is the library space, I'll just talk a little bit about, we still need a place for books. So if you see in that space here, this portion of the library will essentially remain the same. But that band over there would receive a large renovation that would allow for different styles of learning, different places where people can gather and work and educate all at the same time. And then lastly, we talk about the elementary school. These are images that you haven't seen yet as a board. There are things that we just developed this week, but this is showing, if you don't mind, I'll just stand for this one. This is showing what's now the cafeteria gym space, and this becoming, these are two classrooms next to it, this becoming the cafeteria. So what it will do is it will make that a true gym space instead of flexible on-off all the time, and then it will have a dedicated cafeteria space. It could have some outdoor space. We're going to talk a little bit about athletics in a minute, but we have thought about some ways that this space might potentially feed into athletic enhancements that would go on outside of the fields as well. We'll show you some other images of inside the cafeteria. And these are early renderings and just conceptual, so that we start to get an understanding of taking two classrooms and make a great cafeteria space that will work real well for the students.
Jerry, can I just add to that point that you made is really important. While I may love those images, and I do, they're your first iteration of, and we will go through changes and we'll have input from people and parents and through the design phase. So yeah. it's just a first glimpse of what's the possibility.
The other thing that's happening for us now is we're budgeting. So we have to make commitments in terms of money. And so these are helping us understand how to budget for these spaces. So these designs will certainly evolve and grow over time, but they're enough to give you a sense for there's going to be a cafeteria that's separate from the gymnasium space. So if we start to look at the other cornerstones of the project, if we think about the main building, this is the boundary line for the site right now. Let's talk about athletic field master planning. So I'm a huge proponent of master planning. I mean, you guys have heard me say that again and again. I always want to see us making decisions that are consistent with things that you might want to do in the future. It's a little bit of crystal ball, but if we think long term, then we know how to make decisions here. This is what we would see as a long-range master plan for the site here at the building. We could eventually do these fields here. There are wetlands and bat habitats and all kinds of stuff that would play out in that. But what we're talking about for this project is this right here. So tennis courts, 5-8 tennis courts, new track and field, artificial turf. Splice that would be supported by the Booster Club and others for the local share as well. So really a facility that you guys can be proud of for years to come. If we look at the third cornerstone of the project, think about traffic safety out here. We all know that something needs to be done. District's made some temporary adjustments to try and improve safety, but the configuration that's going on out here is really something that needs to be addressed. And so we have spent lots of time thinking about various different configurations. And again, this is a concept for today, but it's as much a budget for the future work as anything, because I guarantee you that once, assuming the board moves this to a vote and the vote passes, this project will evolve and we'll refine this design. It'll be even better than it is today. The important things to note about the traffic safety improvement plan are that we're working to separate buses from cars and pedestrians, because right now they're all intermixed, and so the goal is to keep them as separate as possible in defined places. So we have this outer loop road, bus drop-off here. We're showing it as one configuration. It could be Chevron configuration. Things will change and evolve over time. We've also allowed for future expansion, potentially, of additional parking if you need it down the road as well. The one thing to note is that our goal here is to reuse as much of the infrastructure in the parking lot as possible. So this little image down at the bottom, the green is showing essentially reuse of existing pavement. So the other colors, the deep red is heavy-duty brand-new paving, and the pink are auto-duty paving. So the goal here is to address the traffic safety issues that are going on out front of the building. In addition, the last cornerstone of the project is infrastructure improvements. There are some plenty of other things that are being done that are sort of capital improvement layer scope items for us. So some HVAC work, but other classroom improvements and the like as well. So from a project standpoint, when we were here in August and September, the goal was to finish SEQR, State Environmental Quality Review Act, by today, which has been completed, and prepare a bond resolution for the board to consider. If you choose to move forward, then what would happen is between now and January, this would be continued ongoing interpretation of the project to the community. I cannot emphasize enough that what you're doing right now in terms of telling the community about the project needs to continue, and I'm confident that it will, because the story is a good story, and it's an accurate representation of what you need. Referendum vote in January, and then assuming a successful vote, we really move into the next phase of the project. So someone once told me, well, once we get the referendum done, then the hard work's all done. But what happens is, and this is a really good sort of chronological representation of what a capital project is involves. Facility evaluation and project definition and planning. That's what we've completed so far, and we're right at this point here where we're talking about a capital project vote. So assuming a vote passes, then there's design and documentation, approval by SED, and frankly that arrow may be too short, but it's all dependent on what their workload is at the time of getting into SED. Bid and award construction, multi-year construction for sure, and then finally walk in and enjoy the space, use the spaces. So we're here, there's a lot still to go, but just these two phases, two steps were really, really critically important in the process. So that's what I have from a presentation standpoint. We're available to answer questions as you would like.
Yeah, I don't know if this is a question for you, Christine, or maybe Mary, but some of these sections, it says exact scope and budget to be determined. Is there any possibility that we'd have to revisit going back to the public and asking for more money?
No. Mr. Brockway, thank you for asking that question. So we highlight that to say this is a preliminary concept, and we'll evolve those over time. But the budget is what the budget is. You were confident that you'll be able to achieve those spaces without having to ask for any more money.
Thank you. Leonard?
Going on from that, Garrett, back when we had our vote last fall, or last May, we said that $500,000 was going to cover $18 million. Now we're saying that we need another $190,000 to put on with that. It's really not staying where we were back then.
Sure, I can speak to that if that's okay.
Sure.
So there are a few components of the project that are currently there right now that are not considered feasible. So there's a press box and work to be done at the annex and district offices. That work is not deemed aidable. So that work, along with your about 25,000 or so over the 18 million, that combined is what's creating that extra $170,000 as needed local funds.
We didn't have that information last year. That's why I'm saying, is there anything there that we don't have right now that we might have in the future?
So last year when we were looking at it, was even more of a concept than it is now. The district has done a lot of diligence working to define, while it is preliminary, but to better define the scope, better define where the funds will be spent. We take that information, which is more detailed certainly than we had back in January. We take that and we look at it, and sometimes we're the grim reaper, because we come back and we will say, okay, this works, but this won't be aided and this won't be aided. It's a conservative approach, but if the work is to be accomplished as non-aidable, it would require the extra funds. It would be irresponsible of us to say $500,000 will cut it when it's just over 18 million and there's more unaided work in the proposed scope right now. So while, you know, I know it's not an easy thing to hear to see, it's
what I just don't want to do is go to the public and try to sell them something and then go back. I mean, even like right now, we still got to tell them we've got the funds and we're going to move it over.
So our job now is for fiscal and Tetra Tech to work together with the district. As the scope continues to be more well-defined and things are really nailed down to exactly what will occur, if those costs shift, we're going to be in conversation and we can say, okay, if you do choose to do this, this is what the impact of financing plan would be. So as we do that along the way, any negative impacts can be remediated and you'll be aware of those impacts. So that's, you know, it's going to continue to develop, but any differences you will know about in advance because we will be working together. Any changes, Mary knows, to make sure that, and so does Garrett, to get that information to us so we can redo the financing plan. We can give our opinion as to aidability. As Garrett said, the work certainly is not done, but we know the parameters, and we know that if the board chooses to move forward and then the voters approve it, those are the parameters that legally have to be met.
So Mr. King, I want to just add to, I asked you some more.
I think that Mike is on.
I'm sorry. The one other thing to add too is that these are conservative approaches, and so when we were, if you will, finalizing the scope of the project that's being presented to you tonight, we looked at that, and I asked a very similar question of Christine, and you know, what would it take to we only use the $500,000, you know, that work. And since the unallocated funds are there, we felt it was most prudent to plan conservatively. They're estimates from a building aid standpoint, and we're very confident that they're conservative estimates. So I see this as the high end of what you would be spending as a district, and hopefully we'll be able to do better than that along the way. So, conservative approach.
Well, I realize that you don't know what the bids are going to come in at. You don't know how much construction is going to be in the area. You know, it could come in, you could have a lot of money left over. So.
Yeah. We'll see. Thank you.
Mr. Aguilar.
Garrett, I think it's important to note, right, the issue that we're discussing is the considerable contingencies that are built into this, and I think maybe it'd be interesting for the board to hear and just give them, you know, what you built in.
Yeah, absolutely. So Tetra Tech has a lot of experience. I have a lot of experience planning capital projects. I was thinking about it in the car today. It's a couple $100 million worth of projects that I've been involved in referenda on over the years. And it's really an art, to as much as a science, to put a project like this together, because there are many unknowns. And we understand at the same time that you're making promises, we're all making promises to the community, that this scope will be achieved and is achievable. And so part of that planning process is building contingencies into these budgets. So we have cost escalation, where it's anybody's guess what costs are going to be in 2018 and 19 when we're actually constructing this, but we've built in a basis for that. And then the other thing we've done is that we've planned for construction contingencies and also design contingencies, so that we know that these are all concepts. We're going to bump into things that are unknowns both during the design phase and during construction as well. And so we have ample contingencies, not outrageous or inappropriate, but sort of industry standard contingencies that will allow for dealing with those unknowns along the way. So I'm very confident that this budget is appropriate for the scope that you're considering. I wouldn't say that there's going to be money left over at the end, but I would definitely say that you will not spend a penny over what the referendum amount is. First of all, you can't. It's not possible, but that's the way it's going to be for us.
Ms. Blaine?
I just wanted to add, Leonard, that going back to those numbers that we put out in January, we hadn't gone through all of the committee meetings that we did in operations, where we went through all of those evaluations, building evaluations, and started to define what the project might look like. So even Christine and I, as late as last November, and coming to the board meeting in January, had really just big concepts of, if we did a project of $18 million, I want to say maybe $19 million, $21 million, and then $500,000 cap reserve, or $1 million, or $1.5 million. So we were really looking at big picture, big ranges, but no real fine details as to what the project would be. As we've come over all these months and really evolved, I know it's still conceptual, but we have what I'm going to call a rough draft in what these four cornerstones are. And that's what fiscal advisors has gone back to the table and crunched out these numbers. So it's not big concepts. It really is driven off this now, and it's a much tighter estimate. But we're really, it's putting the parameters on us. It's saying this is the, after all these months, since March of 2014 till now, we've gone through various iterations of what the project could be, might be. This is where we've ended up with it. How we've evolved with those differences.
Any other questions? This is the last time that I knew we were able to speak to them before we vote on this tonight, so if there's any questions, now is the time to ask them.
I don't have a question, but I guess a comment. I feel, you know, being very involved in this project, I feel very fortunate to have fiscal advisors and Tech in our corner fighting for us, and I know Mr. Mannix and Mary Blaine have done a lot of work, spent hours and hours on this project, and I appreciate all the input that we've had, and I feel very confident about this project going forward.
Mr. King.
I want to make a comment there, going on to what Mike has said there. I am in favor of this project. That was one of the reasons why I've offered to come back on the board to support it. I just want to make sure that everybody understands what's happening, why it's going. I asked questions before, and that's why I'm bringing them before the board, to so everybody hears what I heard. So I definitely support this capital project, and I think our school needs to go forward.
All right, thank you all three of you for being here tonight. We appreciate you taking the time out to address us.
You're welcome.
Thank you. What steps are we taking before this vote, in before we go to the public vote, as far as your community education beyond what we have here?
Okay, so the community education piece is right in my alley, and support people sitting there and other folks. So I've spoken to, I think, every member of the faculty. I have spoken to just about any parent that has a student that plays sports. When I say every member of the faculty, I guess I'm speaking teaching and aides and stuff. I haven't gone down to the bus garage, but I generally do that. And then I have a number of public meetings, which I will attend, like I do with the budget. And we are working on putting out a press release, which I'll hit send later tonight to our media outlets. So Ted will be getting my email over there. And from there, we also are working with Cap Region BOCES to put together a flyer a very professional flyer so that it answers a lot of the questions. And speaking of answering a lot of questions, I put together an FAQ, Frequently Asked Questions, which we'll post on our website, which we have a link on our website right now. Is that correct? We'll link on our website right now where we'll flood information in there so people can say, people can't say, I guess, I don't know, because everything's going to be right there on our website. And then there's one other, we'll have a meeting, just like our budget, I think in January, prior to the board meeting, and I'll have a last presentation right here. So the roadshow will start probably when I hit send, maybe 9:30 tonight.
Perfect, thank you.
And it's incumbent on all of us too, to talk to as many people in the district as we can to educate them. So again, thank you very much for being here tonight.
Thank you.
All right, we have reports. Mr. Mance, do you have a report?
No, I guess not.
This
I just wanted to let the board know, I think we've shared with you copies of the letters we've recently received from the New York State Retirement ERS Services and the Office of OSC of audits coming up this fall. That's it.
Alexis?
Okay, so for Cumberland Head this month, pictures were taken for the yearbook with readings on November 17th. They celebrated Halloween with the UPK through second grade parade. They're running their own presidential electronic election using Chromebook voting booths, and they will be participating in the Digital Expo on November 17th. For Beacontown Elementary, they had a successful Halloween parade on October 28th. Picture day went very smoothly with no issues. The entire school made Halloween cupcakes with their classroom buddies, which is where like fourth and fifth graders usually partner with young kids. This past Saturday was the Super Wobble Gobble. 200 families were in attendance where they ran a 1 mile obstacle course, and everybody came in smiling. Mrs. Hines' second grade class is conducting an election where they're actually taking exit polls that they will tally and report on all the information. And the digital fair on November 17th, they will also be participating in, where they can show their tech-savvy skills. And for Beacontown Middle School, the BCSD partnership with SUNY Plattsburgh provided the opportunity for over 20 pre-service teachers to work in the middle school and high school. In the middle school, the SUNY students are getting to experience project-based learning and the digital initiative as they begin their careers. SUNY students also provided help at our Halloween dance in the middle school, which was a big success and fundraiser for the middle school drama club. Some students wore costumes, and in addition to the dance, students had the opportunity to participate in Halloween-themed carnival games. The ELT offerings continue to go well. Eagle Pride, through Community Service Group, took donations from a Friday fundraiser to the Dollar General and purchased items for care packages for members of the military deployed overseas. While making the purchases, a veteran in the community spoke to the students about how much it means to get something from home and other people in the store. Hearing what the students were doing donated additional money. Team Summit has entered project mode for Build a Better Beacontown. They will be having their pitch presentation night on November 16th. There are 10 companies trying to come up with a quality solution for how to repurpose some properties in Beacontown. Students have met with various members of the community and beyond who have given them practical advice about the project and the jobs they hold. And for the high school, students will be starting their new ELT activities next week. Girls soccer and volleyball won sectional championships. Recently, volleyball for the, I believe, either seventh or eighth time in a row, and girls soccer for the third. Students recently attended an FFA meeting and rodeo. Winter sports started tonight for our JV and varsity athletes. The high school drama club had a very successful play this weekend called Family Reunion to Die For. It was on both Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And we held a school-wide election where over 450 students voted, and Trump ended up winning by about 10%. It was about 55% Trump versus 45% Hillary. And that's all I have.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Martin.
Well, Hillary did take Cumberland Head today, so. Maybe you can tell all the kid young guys like that.
All right, committee reports, audit committee.
Audit committee met on the, I think it was the 18th of October. We met with Linda Garrett. She is the internal claims auditor. What was really nice was that even with our ELT extended learning time program, our purchasing overall has doubled, but our errors have not. So it's really nice. We're still keeping them consistently low. One of the major issues that we did discuss was we have a policy on budget transfers. It's policy number 6150. And currently, our limitation for budget transfers is a $5,000 require board approval limitation. If you compare us to other school districts, they range anywhere from 1,000 to unlimited. With our one board meeting a month, it's really starting to have a significant impact on how the school processes their purchasing. So one of the things that we would like to bring to the policy committee and to the board is to rewrite that policy and change it from 5,000 to 25,000. And that way, it'll have significant impact on how school purchasing flows. There's still a level of check and balance in there. The school board will still get a list of budget transfers. Superintendent is still made aware of all those things. And that is pretty much our meeting.
Operations Committee?
We met October 26th and just refined our scope and continued to talk about the four cornerstones, and we reviewed the timeline and had fiscal advisors conference call, and so it was much the same, just continuing to refine the school.
Thank you. Next, resolve that the superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education that the following resolutions on this consent agenda, minutes, CSE, CPSE, and 504 recommendations be and are hereby approved.
Motion.
Motion by Kathy Buckley.
Second.
Second by Debbie Passano. Discussion? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Next, resolve that the superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education that the following resolutions on this consent agenda, resignations, appointments, retirement, and termination be and are hereby approved.
Motion.
Motion by Pauline Stone.
Second.
Second by Leonard King. Discussion? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? At the bottom of page 3, resolved that the superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education that the following resolutions on this consent agenda, the SRO contract memorandum of understanding with the Beekmantown Support Staff Administrators, Beekmantown FFA 2017-18 budget calendar, and the memorandum of understanding with the Beekmantown Support Staff be and are hereby approved.
Motion.
Second. Motion by Debbie, second by Jason. Discussion, I think it's important to point out that Ms. Passano and Mr. Hagler and myself were on the negotiations committee with Mr. Mannix, and we were able to get two contracts, I believe were signed now,
yep.
Correct? And ratified that benefits both the district and our employees, and we're very happy with the result. I don't see anyone, actually I see Mr. King in the back there. I don't see anyone else from the committees, but thank you for coming to the table and allowing us to get this done. So with that said, is there any more discussion? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Number or F on page 7 is the seeker resolution. Somebody using the
resolution
motion by Ed Marin. Second. Leonard King. And it's a roll call vote.
Andrew Brockway.
Yes.
Kathy Blackwood.
Yes.
Michael Agadorn.
Yes.
Leonard King.
Yes.
Ed Marin.
Yes.
Jason Marsh.
Yes.
Ken Maurer. Debbie Cosmo.
Yes.
Colin Stone.
Yes.
And the next item is the proposition resolution. Again, please say who's reading.
Move list,
Leonard King, second by Kathy Buckley. Is there any discussion? Roll call vote.
Andrew Brockway.
Yes.
Kathy Buckley.
Yes.
Michael Agadorn.
Yes.
Leonard King.
Yes.
Ed Marin.
Yes.
Jason Marsh.
Yes.
Ken Maurer. Debbie Cosmo.
Yes.
Colin Stone.
Yes.
And resolve that the superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education that the following resolutions on this consent agenda, financial reports and grant acceptance be and are hereby approved.
Motion
by Debbie, second by Pauline. Discussion. It's another roll call vote.
Andrew Brockway.
Yes.
Kathy Buckley.
Yes.
Michael Agadorn.
Yes.
Leonard King.
Yes.
Ed Marin.
Yes.
Jason Marsh.
Yes.
Ken Maurer. Debbie Cosmo.
Yes.
Colin Stone.
Yes.
Additional items to discuss. Do you have any update on the border street? We had discussed in a previous meeting that we might want to have it here and invite people to the district so we can have a tour of the district. I know I was here 3 or 4 weeks ago and had the opportunity to look at the new cafeteria, and I think it's important that we all see what's going on here at the district. So if that's something that everyone's interested in, that's what I propose. But I believe Mr. Mannix has reached out to a couple people as well.
Yeah, right. So we can, I know some people expressed that they wanted to be have a tour, so we can definitely do that. We can make it annual, whatever people want. We can have dinner here. We're going to also have Megan Zadek come in and meet Town Grad, who's a local attorney. And she's going to review for a second just roles and responsibilities, and then how does the hiring process fit into that, roles and responsibilities. And then she has, I forgot, there were two other, I think it was Every Student Succeeds Act changes on how they might impact the district. And there was one other smaller item. So it would be a tour, maybe a working dinner, and some good information on educational changes in the country and here in Peter Town.
And the Montreal field trip?
Yes, so the Montreal field trip, which I will hand over to Principal Gardner. There, I know we have two teachers. We had a few trips go, more than a few actually last year because of the ELT grant, go to Montreal. And Sharon Rohrbach's a foreign language teacher. She's taking kids to France. So this is hopefully a layup for her. But why don't you go through that?
Sure. So we have Mrs. McAuliffe and Mrs. Rohrbach, who's a French teacher, and a teacher of sociology class, so they requested to go to Chinatown in Montreal to understand different culture, to have food from different culture, to see sites up there. They presented a detailed plan, how it connects to their curriculum, and a plan for taking students outside the country, which includes contacting border agents ahead of time, and making sure that there's proper documentation so there's no snags at the border, having all the documentation ready ahead of time.
This documentation that is dropped in the board portal is impressive because it does connect. It's not just an enjoyable trip, it's not just exposure. It's definitely connected to what they do in the classroom. So I appreciate it just for your review.
Thank you, sir. Also, we may be taking potential action after the executive session. I know that we've interviewed some candidates for the elementary principal position. I'll leave it to Mr. Mannix to discuss the policy that was followed, but we do have a candidate that we will be interviewing after or during the executive session. We may take action on approving that person to take the position.
Yeah, I would just say that I enjoyed the committee work. The administrative team worked together and interviewed all candidates. And then we had a stakeholders committee that sat in this room, just like this, and really had some two great interviews, I'd say. And tonight is a culmination of this. It's about a 2-month-long process, and I'm looking forward to our executive session. One last thing is the board retreat. Megan is flexible on this, but we haven't had a lot of feedback from the board. Right now might be the opportune time to narrow this down, because we hate to have a board retreat and nobody be able to attend.
What month are we looking at?
She's flexible, so I was thinking November, late November, early December.
Is anyone out of town the last week of November? What day is Thanksgiving on this year?
I'm out of town on the 30th. For the next 5 days.
So what about the second week of December? Is that bad for anyone?
So December, our board meeting is the 13th? What about the 6th?
We'll be back in 6 months.
Yes.
Is anyone okay, or does anyone have any conflict on the 6th?
I've turned my phone back on.
Why don't we shoot for the 6th and see if
you do a lot of stuff, you can't make the 6. So if we have 4 or 5 that can't make the 6, then we make just throw it back up to the board. I'm pretty sure making can do it.
That's 6:15
or early.
What's a good time for people? Dinner will be here, so what's a good time for people? You have to work, I know.
No earlier than 5:30.
Okay.
Why don't we shoot for 6:15? It's only going to be a couple hours.
Yeah, 6:15.
Sure, okay.
So, okay.
Right. Is there anyone else from the public that wishes to address the board? Seeing none, ask for a motion to.
Joanne's saying that the field trip does need more than board discussion. It does need board approval.
When is the trip scheduled to take place?
December.
It's the week
before
of the
next board meeting.
Yes.
I think it's the board policy about so many days in advance and has to be approved.
So, can we just make a formal written motion? Can I make a motion to approve the high school principal to oversee the process and make sure that we conform with the board requirements? Is there any financial?
Yep.
So, I'd make a motion to authorize Mr. Mannix and Mr. Gardner to oversee the implementation of the Montreal school field trip scheduled to take place in December.
Second.
Second by Debbie. Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right, so it asks for a motion to enter an executive session, and we may be taking action after the executive session.
Motion.
Motion by Ed. Second by Jason. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
It's gonna be a long time in the executive session. I'm just thinking back out. Can I ask you a question quick?
Yeah,
we
need to
put
a motion to appoint Leonard Clerk. Second by Ed. All in favor? Opposed?